The school children brought from home for their midday meal bread and scrape. Some children walked 3 miles each way daily. The widow at Tilbury Court gave hot free cocoa all through the winter to go with their meagre sandwiches. She also gave every schoolgirl a navy blue cloak. It's so much more sensible than an overcoat, which is soon outgrown. Socially, we had children's parties here and at the houses of friends in Clare and in that direction. We three children went in a hired brougham at 2 and 6 the evening. There was straw on the floor, and how it smelt, mingled with the smell of stale beer. From an early age, we took part in farm life. When collecting eggs, my mother pushed me around in the pram and one day left me outside the Tudor brew house. It's still there, which was the brewer, where a few hens laid. The pram, on its own, ran down the slope and into the moat, and my distracted mother came out to find pram and baby gone. But there we were, almost afloat, the baby unperturbed, and the water lapping the pram's sides. On Sunday afternoons, we watched to see the horses let out of the yard to go to the moat to drink. They rushed out of the gate in a wild gallop, manes and tails flying. Another Sunday occupation was going round the harvest fields with Father, setting up stooks that had fallen down. This sounds hard work for small-sized children, but once the knack is learned, it is not bad, and on those Sunday walks in the fields, there were always birds and flowers to identify and learn about. There was campion and kingcups, heartsease and marjoram, oxlips and bagels, and up to 100 others. Watching stacks being thrashed was a weekday excitement. The rats and mice would run out of the diminishing stacks, but onlookers were supposed to chase and kill them with sticks. My mother, pursuing a family of very young rats, was halted by an old man who called out, "Don't eat, slaver man. They'll make a supper for me, little old pussy." He captured the small rats, put them in his hat, clapped the hat tightly on his head, and went on working. At one time, this old man had been our cowman and dairyman and made the butter. But this engagement terminated suddenly when my mother found he tested the butter by spitting into the churn. If there's a curdling, butter is ready. If not, you go on churning and spit again later. We three children were introduced to public service when very young. In 1902, my brother, let's say me, aged 3, planted an oak tree in front of the forge at Great Yeldham, commemorating the coronation of King Edward VII. The coronation had been postponed because he had appendicitis. Your secretary and I, your clerk and I, verified that the oak is still thriving on the little green before you go over the bridge to the Yeldham. In the early summer of 1914, there was an agricultural strike. Our men did not strike because they were already getting 15 shillings a week. But the neighbours did. And to help a very old farmer whose land adjoined ours, we all went to hoe his beans. We crept along by high hedges, hoping the strikers would not catch us. How hot it was. We hoed and we hoed. And then we sat in a shaded ditch drinking cider. Then more hoeing, blistered hands and all. When war was declared that August, the strikers went back to work. To helped the country till the war was over. Harry, our head horseman, said to my father as he drew up on the side of a wheat field with the binder, "This year war, sir, be it all according to the strike at Ridgewell." That's a very important remark, because that was the horizon in the far distance of people dwelling in Tilbury in those days. Ridgewell was almost in sight. We could see Topsfield on a clear day, Ovington and Sir Ashton and Little Yeldham, but the greater aspects didn't occur.